Hey, everybody. Welcome to another first-round bald movie. Tonight, Jim and I went to see Spider-Man Far From Home, the sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming, directed by John Watts, starring genetically modified Tobey Maguire, Tom Holland. What'd you think of this this film, both as a standalone, as a film, as a installment in the Spider-Man franchise, as an overall piece in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Jim, what do you think?
I quite enjoyed this film. this was really good. It's become very apparent to me that I have not cared much for a Marvel movie since the original Iron Man, and that Spider-Man is rejuvenating my love for superheroes. Spider-Man
is not wrong.
Much fun, yeah. And this movie is just as good as Homecoming.
Yeah.
If not, maybe like a little more fun and a little better in some ways.
It somehow is both more fun and also more emotionally resonant because of all the
because
shit
of
that's
everything
happened
that's,
in between.
Yeah, and I don't want to take too much away from, you know, all the Avengers stuff that's happened, but like I've always really liked Iron Man. I think he's like a really great character. Peter Parker, when they were doing like the Tobey Maguire stuff, was also a really good character with an actor who's like just slightly less charismatic than I want him to be in this role of Peter Parker. But we didn't know then like what a great superhero movie could be. And so Tobey Maguire worked really well in the original Spider-Man stuff, or, you know, the original reboot of Spider-Man.
No one will
but
be
Tom Holland
is
motherfucking Peter Parker. Like, no one. Like, they have put their bets on the right horse here in Tom Holland, because he is an amazing Spider-Man. He will be an amazing Spider-Man for 25 years if they want to keep
the
it
thing.
Going.
There's like Peter Parker. I do. It's almost unfair to take that much of a young person's life, but Peter Parker goes through a really nice arc through his teens, early 20s, late 20s. Like there's a lot of stuff you could do, and they've got a really young, intriguing cast that they could Game of Thrones this, and it does seem like that they're like this phase of Marvel is built on making you believe that Peter Parker could be a better version of Tony Stark.
Yeah. And I think all the stuff that they've done in previous movies to connect those two characters has really worked well.
Yeah.
It's been some of my favorite stuff in those movies.
Yeah. And I don't know why I never saw this coming, that like, I like, well, obviously you've got a young Tom Holland here and you can build a plug. You like, but the idea that he might actually be the no shit, like right now successor to Tony Stark. And one of the reasons that I think this works, like all the good Spider-Man is even though you're cheering for Peter Parker and you want Spider-Man to succeed, there's this fundamental unfairness about what is being asked of this child.
Yeah, no,
and that's why like the home fucking Into the Spider-Verse works the same way. Like all the best Spider-Men make you feel like, Jesus Christ, this is not fair. And like no one would blame the kid for giving up at any point, but like, you know, great power, great responsibility, and he finds a way to persevere. But there's always it's not effortless. Like Spider-Man, even though not invincible himself, always pays like heavy personal costs for the things he does. And, you know, he makes a lot of sacrifices in this film.
And I never felt like there were these personal moments with Tony Stark that I really wanted him to succeed during.
Yeah.
And you know, it's low stakes shit with Spider-Man.
Like, yes.
His personal life is a high school teen's life.
Yes.
None of this is going to matter in 3 years. He's going to be in college. He's going to be a different person. He's going to be trying drugs. Like, none of this shit is going to matter to his life.
Yeah, Into the Spider-Verse. Wait till you see that movie on some psilocybin theater.
Go all the way into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, have Edith knock you up some synthetic shit. You know, Tony's got some recipes.
Oh, it's coming down from space, the type of shit he's got.
Yeah, Tony's party package is deployed from an orbital satellite, and it can and there's 24 of them in geosynchronous orbit.
Oh,
so
hell
you can
yeah.
call down a Stark party at any time.
But regardless of how silly and trivial all of these stakes are, I want Peter Parker to succeed both personally and as a superhero.
Yeah.
And that's something I never really felt with Iron Man, because Iron Man's like, he's kind of an asshole, right?
Yeah.
Like, Tony Stark is a dick to just about everybody he meets.
Yes.
So like, I don't care about his personal life. I don't care about the Pepper Potts bullshit. Like, none of that matters. But with Spider-Man or Peter Parker and MJ, I'm like, yes, I want this to be a thing. They're awesome. I just want him to succeed in every way possible.
And he's just, I don't know, man. They do such a damn good job casting.
Yeah.
That he's just, yeah. I I bristle a little bit when people talk bad about Peter or Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man because, like, it's kind of like
good for the time.
It's kind of like what they say with Christopher Reeves in the first like two Supermen. Like, yeah, you say what you will, but and for its time and everyone, but Christopher Reeves is really good of that vein Superman, and no one's ever going to do like a better Superman. They might do a better take on a super or like a particular Superman, but like. He's exactly what you want, okay? Mm-hmm. And I feel like Tobey Maguire is the same thing. It's just that, like, you didn't know that, like, you could get a 16-year-old to play the fundamental patheticness of Spider-Man and also, like, the reasons he's kind of, like, awesome mm-hmm. and, you know, the fact that he's got the motor mouth and also just a way, like, just, you know, like, there's something to work when, like, Spider-Man's being smacked around by a bad guy and you can kind of, like, just his vocalizations of his – it's not like Arnold. Rah, rah. It's a kid getting hurt, you know?
Sure.
And
yeah.
I think that adds a little visceral, like, you kind of are more protective of Spider-Man than you are of some of the superheroes, like a Thor.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think the fundamental characters of Tony Stark and Peter Parker have been more appealing to me mm-hmm. than your Thors, your Bruce Banners, I've never really felt like those characters clicked to me. Even a Captain America. Captain America is so bland. Like I loved reading the comic books, the Captain America ones when I was a kid, but those stories now, like that character is just so one note.
Yeah.
And even how they've transformed him through the years, he still is very blah.
Hmm.
Whereas I look at Peter Parker and I see so much fun. I see so much potential.
Yeah.
I look at Tony Stark and I see a ton of fun, even though he's an asshole.
I don't want to spoil too much about the movie, but I also thought it was really clever, like the fundamental villain mechanic. In this film, I thought was really interesting and kind of clever. There's just a ton of, like, when we get to the spoiler section, there's like a ton of like really interesting things they're doing under the hood.
Yeah,
that I can already start to see the vague shape of this phase of Marvel and what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that they executed that pretty well. They also, like, everything that I worried about, like, okay, they're gonna have to address, like, where these kids have been in 5 years and the fact they're back in school now and the fact...
Yeah.
And, like, there's a lot of heavy... You could tell from the trailers of Spider-Man, there's going to be a lot of heavy kind of emotional lifting. And they... It's just so fucking brilliant how they do it. And, like, you would think it would take the first third of the movie, kind of like an Endgame, that you're going to dwell... But, like, no, we did that in Endgame. Here's... I don't want to spoil it, but the first 5 minutes of the movie answers all of those questions in a way that will just shut you up and ready and have you ready to go on an enjoyable romp with Spider-Man.
When we get to the spoiler section, I might need some of that explained.
Okay.
Because I don't fully remember Endgame, even though it's been like 4 days since it came out in theaters.
Right.
Literally 4 days since it's been re-released to theaters.
Right. No, it's just there's a lot of really... it's interesting to see how much mileage they'll continue to get from the death of Tony Stark, because that's kind of like the engine that's made like two of these things go now. And I don't know. The thing is, this could be like, it wouldn't surprise me that there's like some kind of holographic super, like, speaking of Superman, like Jor-El projection that Tony's got for a special circumstance. Like, don't you see in Spider-Man 3, he could put on those glasses?
Sure, he can come back. Yeah.
And there's a certain code word he says, and like a holographic Tony Stark gives him like some word. Like, he's like a fucking digital Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Like,
I'd be surprised if Tony Stark didn't do that.
Yes.
Frankly.
So, like, I just feel like that maybe, I don't know, I just...
Or we could go back in time, like we did in Endgame, and we could see, Tony Stark as a young man.
It's entertaining for me to set up limitations for Marvel Universe that they didn't smash. Like, I'm like, oh, how long can you, lean on this Tony Stark character, and they'll, like, the next 10 years is going to be, everything ties back to Tony Stark, and they're like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, Aaron.
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers have a chance to exercise their rights under the Patreon pact we've made by voting for the next pulp movie that Jim and I will be covering. If you're one of the elite few backers at the executive producer level, don't miss your chance to influence us. Hurry over to patreon.com/baldmove and vote in the latest movie poll before it closes on Wednesday morning.
And for all other club members, we've got an all-new episode of Lunch with Jim and Aaron this Friday afternoon. Catch the live stream at 1 p.m. to interact with us and your fellow munchers over on Patreon, or you can wait for the podcast to drop later that day.
If you want even more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds.
I will say that after Endgame, I was looking forward to a breather from the Marvel stuff, and I don't know that any other Marvel movie could have made me feel okay with not getting that breather. Because, I mean, we're talking, what is it, 2 months?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A month since Endgame came out, and they're already spinning up
Spider-Man. Yes.
Yeah, they're spinning up the next phase of Marvel after Endgame. So, like, I think if this movie was less than excellent, I would have been disappointed simply because the Marvel fatigue would have set in.
But
this has me refreshed. Like,
yeah.
I want to see more Spider-Man movies at this point.
But I think therein lies the trap, and this has been true for several years now. It'll be interesting to see what would happen if Marvel ever sustained like two or three the Thor 2s or Iron Man 3s in a row.
Or Ragnarok.
Where like it just kills them, huh?
Or Ragnarok.
Well,
if you're me.
Ragnarok hit the spot for some of us, sir. But if they had like these, because like you could go back and look and like they're on an unprecedented like 95% plus Rotten Tomatoes streak. Yeah. You got to wonder like if they ever have a slip, because I do feel like there's a lot of people that are like, you know, they're like at this amazing concert and there's been like 12 encores and people are still cheering, but there's a lot of people like looking at the clocks like, the second they don't melt my face off, I'm out.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the stakes just continue to get higher and higher and higher. And here we are just like 2 months after we said, boy, how are you going to top Endgame? Fucking giving Spider-Man a hand job with four mechanical tentacles that we just found out he had.
And it does feel like, you know, a bit of a reboot. They're resetting. They're taking things. The stakes are smaller. You know, things are like reduced in scope because A, this is a standalone Spider-Man movie, right? It's not an Avengers movie. But also, it does feel like, okay, well, I can't say too much about the state of the world here, but like a lot of the things that they chose to either include or not include in this movie make it feel like a smaller scope, something more friendly after, you know, this epic that is Endgame and Infinity War.
I was actually kind of somewhat surprised that I thought maybe the new normal would be multiple, like every single superhero movie would have multiple appearances, like Guardians of the Galaxy is going to have always going to have Thor dropping by,
right?
Or Thor is always going to have fucking Rocket the Raccoon at his hip, or like it's just that was just going to be buddy films. Like Phase 4 is going to be just nothing buddy films. I was a little surprised that this is very, I mean, I guess, yeah, just Nick Fury and
there are a lot of cameos, but
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and like there's a lot, I guess, Marvel, but you know, there's nobody in spandex that you might suspect show up, and then they don't show up. It's pretty much Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much Spider-Man and this new guy. What else do you want to talk about non-spoiler? Because I kind of want to, there's a lot of spoiler stuff I want to talk about.
Okay, well, let's get to the trailers first. I actually saw zero new trailers this time. Everything I saw at Astra and fucking the birds, the Angry Birds.
It's funny because I saw a bunch of new ones, and I actually had you watch a few. Midway, which feels and looks like a spiritual successor to Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor, and fittingly directed by one Roland Emmerich, which you might know from Independence Day fame.
Stargate.
Yeah, Godzilla.
Oh no.
2012. Like he got a big reputation in the 90s as like this disaster guy, and then he kind of fumbled some higher profile projects. He's done some interesting things. I actually haven't been paying attention. Then he did the terrible Independence Day 2. Mm-hmm. And now he's directing this, and the last time they tread on this, they gave it to Michael Bay, and it killed Michael Eisner. It brought the mouse low for the first time in a century, and it almost destroyed Michael Bay's career until he discovered that he can make infinite money from Transformers.
Yeah.
Transformers. This movie looks, it looks great, but I know it's going to be terrible. It's going to be like offensively bad.
Yeah, I didn't care for Pearl Harbor that much.
Pearl Harbor's a terrible movie. That's why. It's a really bad...
I didn't know if I was just too young to appreciate it when I saw it or if it sucks, but...
No, it turns out Michael Bay doesn't have that gear that's required to handle something like that. So, yeah, I think it's going to be it's going to be beautiful, but it's going to be a mess. 47 Meters Down Uncaged. I think this is a sequel to 47 Meters Down. Like, wasn't that a... Like, there's this genre of shark horror movies.
Is this James Cameron? Is he going under the sea again?
No, it's a bunch of teenage girls going cave diving or some shit, and then a bunch of great whites trap them in this underwater cave and pick them off one by one, and it's very horror film, and it's very found footage, and it looks... I can't watch this because sometimes if I go in a dark swimming pool at night, I think I'm going to get bit by Jaws, so...
Yeah,
I like the water too much to indulge in these fantasies.
Well, you're not probably helped by the next one either, then.
Which is what? Crawl.
Crawl. Yeah, you said there was something in the theater that made everybody gasp.
There was this 19-second version of this that's essentially the blonde girl in the crawl space getting bit by the croc and drug out. And the people that I saw the movie with, I was just watching this girl crawling around a crawl space, and I looked down to finish up my notes from the previous trailer, and suddenly she screamed, the audience kind of gasped, then laughed and applauded, and the thing was over. And but no, this is no joke Sharknado, only big budget with a wide release apparently, and it's alligators and hurricanes instead of sharks and tornadoes, but otherwise literally almost all the set pieces from the trailer are recognizably vintage Sharknado pieces.
Is it Hurrigator? Is that what they should call it? Hurrigator. Or Alicane?
Is Tara Reid involved? I need to know.
Probably. Executive produced.
Executive producer Tara Reid. I almost kind of want to see it. It's because...
It's like Anaconda or like any of those halfway shitty sci-fi beast movies.
I feel like stuff with that and the Meg, we should make a note, wait for it to come out in Blu-ray, do a fucking live watch deconstruction takedown of it, because
that'd be fun.
That's the way you should enjoy these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was also a trailer that I've not seen before for a new reboot of Charlie's Angels, directed and starring Elizabeth Banks. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of other women that I've recognized. They're up and coming. Jasmine from Aladdin was one of the angels.
Mm, okay.
God, who's the other? Kristen Stewart from Twilight fame is one of the angels. Patrick Stewart, I think, is Charlie.
I've seen this trailer, but it was a while ago. I
thought he was Bosley at first, but then Elizabeth Banks identifies as Bosley later on. So I'm like, well, what the hell? But I really enjoyed the Drew Barrymore angels. I saw, I think, 2.5 of
Bill
them.
Murray, yeah, that was it was okay.
Yeah, it can hit the spot if there's a certain spot that needs hitting. But yeah,
could have done without Drew Barrymore. But
I saw, and then this had to be the 31st trailer for Hobbs and Shaw I've seen. I'm kind of worried that they're just doing the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's 15 good minutes in this movie, and they're going to show them all to get you your. But how can they fail?
Well, I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
So they haven't failed with me.
And I said that about the last Fast and Furious, and then they had the Jason Statham baby scene was not even hinted at the trailer, and that's the best. They saved the best for so I don't know.
Yeah.
It just continues to look amazing. And that's all the trailers we got to talk about this time. Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, we do not have a bald movie, first-run bald movie, but then we have a pretty good run starting July 18th. The Lion King, we're going to see the live version of The Lion King is, live-action version. Mm-hmm. Then week of the 25th, we're seeing Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking excited about that. Mm-hmm. And then August 1st, we kick off my birthday month with Fast and Furious, Hobbs, and Shaw. Woo! That's what we call Murderer's Row here at Bald Movies. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear our Spider-Man spoilery thoughts, you're going to have to be a club member. It's really easy to join. Go to club.baldmovie.com to get the pitch and access to these, this and many other great extended digital features, bonus content, whatever you want to call it. It's club.baldmovie.com.